A little time after this, I was invited to preach one Lord's Day at a little place in Cheshire, of which I forget the name, but which was about 12 or 13 miles from home. I left home on the Saturday in a most miserable state of mind, for not one penny of money or 1 6-penny worth of provisions did I leave in the house. There was nothing but gloominess, poverty and darkness, both within and without. My wife declared that she believed I should go on preaching until they were all starved to death. But go I must, and off I set with an aching heart indeed, and a most trying, miserable journey I had, for the devil set on me hard without mercy, and brought all my debts and miseries and set them before me, and the impossibility of my ever being able to get through them with honesty. And such unbelief and darkness, confusion and misery laid fast hold of me, and such weakness of body for want of something to eat, that I feared I should never reach the end of my journey. But the dear Lord broke it into my soul with such sweetness that I could have died for him. He assured me that he would be with me and would surely go before me and bring up the rearward. "Fear not," said he, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Oh, this was enough, for I knew that it would be all right if he were with me. Oh, how easy and pleasant it was to feel his kind hand sustaining me, for I felt in my very soul that he cared for me. With what ease and pleasure I could leave my family in his hands, and I felt a sweet confidence that he would incline the hearts of his people to communicate to my necessities, which I proved to be the case in a wonderful manner. I arrived safe at my journey's end, and a sweet night I had upon my bed in wondering, praising, and blessing my God for his loving kindness in bringing me, a poor worm, thus far. I could indeed say from my heart feelingly, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." Acts 26, verse 22. I awoke in the morning, being Lord's Day, in a very sweet frame, and at the time I went to the place of meeting, which was a house that a few people met in for public worship. There were but few there, and they were very poor people in general. But the Lord was there with his blessing, which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. A comfortable day it was, and I do think the best wine was saved to the last, for the poor soul seemed to be all alive, and having so freely received of spiritual things, they thought it a light thing to communicate carnal things. Some gave me 6 pence, some 1 shilling, and some one thing and some another, until I was quite astonished. In the morning, Monday, a young woman at the house where I slept gave me 1/2 guinea, and said that she had made up her mind to do so, and that I must have it. And I was to call at 2 or 3 places on my way home, and there the poor things had collected their 1/6 shillings together, and a handkerchief full of cakes to carry home to the children. I declared that I would go home, for I had robbed them enough. When I got on my way, I stopped to count up the money which the Lord had provided, and as nearly as I can recollect, I had 34 shillings in all and a bundle of cakes. So on I went home, full of joy, thanksgiving, and praise to the God of all my supplies, who had given such testimony to the word of his grace, and had so wonderfully supplied my wants and necessities for the body. All was right both at home and abroad. "Surely," exclaimed my soul, "I can never forget his tender mercies and loving kindness to one so vile and unworthy of the least of all his mercies." But I soon found again that the day of adversity was set over against the day of prosperity, and that there is sure to be a night after the day. For I soon had fresh exercises. One Saturday I was all confusion, for I could not get a text, and I had to supply on the Lord's Day for Mr. Gadsby. Oh, thinks I, what shall I do, and where can I go? And such abominations were working in my heart all day that I began to fear whether I was a partaker of grace or not. To finish up my misery, late on Saturday night I received a note from a man to whom I had owed for some time £2.10, that if I did not come and pay it on the Monday following, he would wait no longer, and that it would be in vain for me to come and beg for any longer time. Oh, how my poor soul and body shook and trembled! Now, thinks I, God is bringing me to a complete end. Now will the mouths of the uncircumcised be opened. Ah, so would we have it. And how these words came into my soul like a thunderbolt, the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. Oh, what a tremendous night I had to pass through, sometimes almost in despair. But before morning, the Lord gave me a hope that he would appear, and how sweet were those words, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." As Psalm 50, verse 15. Indeed, I had nowhere else to look but unto him, who had the hearts of all in his hands. I left home on the Lord's Day morning for Manchester, which was about 5 miles, and I believe if ever I did pray in all my life, I prayed those 5 miles that God would appear for me that day, both as a God of providence and of grace. When I began to preach, the £2.10 were all taken away, and I do believe the Lord was with me. But when I had done preaching, the devil came again, with all his accusations that I should bring a reproach upon the cause of God. "And did not I know," said he, "what I had to pay tomorrow, and that I had nothing towards it?" I could not answer him a word, but shook like a leaf and wished I had never come. Oh, how I sighed and groaned in my very soul. As I was going out of the chapel, an old lady put out her hand to shake hands and left half a guinea in my hand. Oh, what a surprise was this to me! Oh, thinks I, who can tell but God may put it into the hearts of whom he will to give me the rest? Oh, how my poor soul poured itself out to him, that he would go before me and provide what he knew I was in need of, and that I might have another testimony that he was with me, that he was my God, and that I, a poor worm, was his servant. I had such an opening up to him, and such a prevailing with him in prayer, that I believed he heard and would answer my cry. The time arrived for me to preach in the afternoon, and I felt it good to speak of what I had handled and felt of the good word of God. But when I had done, my old fears came up again. How could the £2.10 be made up of? Into the vestry I went trembling, and found the old lady who had given me the half guinea in the morning. She shook hands with me and said, "Sir, when I got home, my heart smote me as David's heart smote him." At this I greatly trembled. Surely, thinks I, she is come for the half guinea back again. What shall I do? But instead of this, the old lady said, "My heart smote me because I did not give you more. But now I have brought my pocketbook with me, and I will give you £2 more." At which I burst out into a flood of tears, for I could not help it. At this, the poor old lady was much surprised and asked me what was the matter. I told her that I had a note sent me on Saturday night from a person to whom I owed £2.10, and if I did not come and pay him on Monday, he would put me to trouble. "And now to see that the Lord has put it into your heart to give me the money and sixpence over, it breaks my soul in love to God as the giver and to you as the instrument." At this, the old lady burst into tears too, and we both wept together for joy. "Oh," said she, It is better to give than to receive. But I could not think it was, for I was so full of the goodness, mercy, kindness, and faithfulness and glory of God to such a poor, worthless worm that I was quite full and abounded. There was no room for any one thing more. I think I shall never forget the poor old lady's feelings when she emptied all her money out of her pocketbook, which appeared to be about 10 or 12 pound notes, upon the table, and with such earnestness and tears running down her cheeks, declared, "It is all yours, you shall have it all." "Oh no," cried I, "God forbid that I should do this thing. He has put it into your heart to give me the debt, and sixpence over, and I dare not take one penny more, and will not. It is not mine. What God moved you to give me is mine, but the rest is yours." She blessed me, and I blessed her, so that there was nothing but blessing between us. She blessed God that he had ever put it into her heart to relieve a servant of his in distress, and I blessed God in my soul that I had received. So the giver and the receiver blessed the Lord together, and he had all the glory. Oh, how sweet was that text when I came out of the vestry. "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Oh, what a night of comfort and joy that I passed through in viewing the glories of my covenant God, both in providence and grace to one so very unworthy. And how I hated myself for my wretched distrust of him who had so often appeared in such wonderful ways for me and had ever been my present help in all my times of trouble. Oh, how I wanted the morning to come that I might go and pay the man what I owed him, which was a greater pleasure for me to do than for him to receive it. The friends gave me a pound for supplying on the Lord's day, so that I went home with money to pay my debt and money for my family to live upon. Oh, the goodness and mercy of a covenant God in delivering his poor tried children in times of great distress, and when there is no human eye to pity or arm to help. Oh, how my poor soul entered into those blessed words, "I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." How delightfully could I sing, "Goodness and mercy have followed me all my life long. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee." I went on pretty comfortably for a few weeks, enjoying the presence of God, and all is well when this is the case. For it was a rare thing indeed for me to be out of temporal difficulties, for having a large family, and being nothing but a poor weaver, and getting but 4 shillings per week for my regular preaching at Bury, it was seldom anything else but debts, miseries, and trials of all sorts, except at those times when the presence of my God and Savior shone into my heart and made bare his arm in delivering and providing in his wonderful providence. At those times and seasons I envied no man upon earth and would not have one thing altered. I could see at such times that it was a right way to a city of habitation, and could sing with pleasure, "My Jesus hath done all things well." But I have ever found one text of Scripture to be truth. "I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." One instance just strikes my mind. One evening I had been out preaching about 7 miles from home, and when I was returning, it being late before I reached home, oh, what a keen feeling of hunger came upon me before I got there. And what was my greatest distress, I knew there was nothing to eat when I got home. Oh, the dreadful feelings and hard thoughts which rose up in my mind against God. I dare neither speak nor write them. Oh, the dreadful rebellion I felt against his dealing so hardly with me, that when I was hungry I could not even have bread and water. Ah, cried the old adversary, where are your fine promises now, that you have so often boasted of? Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy water shall be sure. Just as I entered the house, these words struck my mind. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh, what a sight had I of the sufferings of my dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what he endured in this vale of tears from the cradle to the cross for such a wretch as I, and how it sounded in my heart. And did my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? How I blushed and was ashamed at my wretched feelings and rebellions. I did not know where to hide my guilty face. Oh, cried I, and what are my sufferings and of hunger and compared with thy bloody sweat in the garden for such a monster as I? How I looked upon him, and what a godly mourning I had over my sins and over him. And how I begged that he would forgive me, and the hatefulness I had against myself for my sins no tongue can tell. Oh, cried I, how could I be so base as to have such hard thoughts of thee, who hast blessed me with so many mercies? How sweet were these words, and though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. What wonders did I see in all the goodness that God had caused to pass before me in my way up to that very moment. My little empty house was a palace now in my eyes, full of all sorts of riches. I suppose that it was rather late in the evening when I reached home, for my wife and children were all in bed and fast asleep, for which I was thankful, as I wanted to enjoy the sweet company of my dear Lord, and for it was heaven upon earth to my soul to be with Jesus. By and by I found my poor body very weak, and I took the candle and went to search if I could find an old crust of bread. After some little searching, I found an old crust which had been laid aside a long time, until it was quite hard and not fit for food. I then got a cup of water, and if ever my soul went out to God in prayer, it was then that he would bless it to the sanctifying of my hungry appetite, satisfying of my hungry appetite. And how sweet it came into my mind that Jesus turned water into wine at the marriage feast. And I believed in my heart that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I looked up to him just like a child, and begged of him that he would bless this morsel of bread and water, and that I might prove that he was the Lord my God. Oh, how precious were those words to my soul! Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How I was overcome, and blessed and praised and thanked his dear majesty, that he had blessed the rich food that I was about to eat. Oh, how my soul did thank him for it. I took the dry crust, but it was so softened and enriched with the love and mercy of God that the manna never tasted more sweet to the Israelites than the old crust did to my taste. I blessed and thanked God and took the water, and it was richer to my taste than the richest wine I had ever drunk since. I never felt my body more refreshed, nor my appetite more satisfied. I had everything needful and abounded. My soul again entered into the text, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Oh, the preciousness of having the presence of a covenant God, enjoyed in our hearts by precious faith. Truly, when God gives peace, Who can give trouble? But the good shepherd saith, The sheep shall go in and out and find pasture. And this I have ever found to be the case, for I had fresh trials coming on which I did not expect.